Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello friends and welcome to Monday's edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, proudly sponsored by Stardust Spirits. And old friends, it's that time again, isn't it? Bad news, good news. Bad news, Town lost against Spurs on Saturday, 4-1. They lost ground in the fight against relegation as well, because Wolves, who are now in surprisingly good form, won at Bournemouth. So now the gap is 5 points, effectively 6 points because of the goal difference. And there's only 12 games left. But good news, friends. England won the Calcutta Cup on Saturday. It was a tremendous game of rugby union, chasing the old egg. So every cloud, that's good news, isn't it, boys? I'm joking, of course. That's a crime talking about egg chasing on this podcast. The real good news, friends, is that one day we'll all be dead. And none of what we talk about now will matter. And yes, I am still a bit sad about my holiday being over. Friends, here we go then. Stewie, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. Thank you. Yeah, good morning. We'll try and inject some energy after one of the most downbeat openings I think we've ever heard.
2 weeks ago, I was in the Maldives. Now I'm sitting in the rain talking about Town getting hoshed at home by Spurs. Rossi, how are you?
I'm good, you know. I'm feeling, you know, got a bit of energy with me. I'm liking Stu's jumper. Nice colour. Suits him, Stu. Every time I see you wearing that jumper, I'm like, yeah. Good.
Interesting. Is that a mustard, would you say, Stu? It's not yellow, is it?
Let's go with that, given the connotations of what yellow means.
Exactly.
To this particular podcast, mustard.
Exactly. Right then, friends. General banter done. The boys are in a better mood than me, which is good. As we start this podcast, we have time to talk about Town losing 4-1 at home to Tottenham Hotspur. Right then. Shall we hear from Kieran McKenna, first of all, and then we can start breaking this game down on what it means and, frankly, if Town have any chance of survival this season?
Yeah, we're, of course, you know, really frustrated by the result. I think there was lots of good things in the performance. No doubt that we started really, really well. Should have been ahead. I think we were the better team in the first half. A couple of home games in a row that we should go in with, you know, a lead, really, on the balance of play and on the chances, and we go in with a deficit. So we're frustrated by that. There's no doubt that their execution, whenever they got their big moments around our penalty box, was better than our execution whenever we got our big moments around their penalty box. So that was the difference between the two teams. I think there were so many good things about the performance. There's so much growth on the pitch. There's a lot of growth still to come. But of course, it's a stage of the season where, you know, we'd like to have points on the board, and it's a game that, you know, we certainly could have had some and could have been different. But yeah, it's gone against us and we don't get anything for that.
Stu, I put it to you that this game was kind of a microcosm of the season, in that Town did some good stuff. They had some good opportunities, but ultimately didn't have the quality when it mattered at both ends of the pitch. Core is tough in the Premier League. You'll get punished.
Yeah, exactly that. I think I wrote that in my piece on yesterday morning. Where do we want to start with this one? Take your chances. It could be a different story. I guess let's start at the very beginning. And what was, we talked about this having the makings, the ingredients of a really open, entertaining game of football. I've never seen a more eventful opening 4 minutes to a football match, where Ipswich have three chances, Spurs have one of their own within there, Delap's on the end of all of them for Ipswich. One of those needs to end up in the back of the net. If it does, that could easily be another Chelsea-type afternoon. But they don't go in.
Yeah, if my auntie had testicles, etc. Rossi, what are your opening thoughts on this one? Because, I mean, we talked on, when was it, Friday, Thursday, when we previewed it, that stat about Town scoring goals in the first half and Spurs conceding goals in the first half. So a fast start was certainly on the cards, and they started really well. They did everything but score, and Delap was giving poor old young Archie Gray a torrid time, wasn't he, to start the game?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised about that fast start, although I wasn't prepared, as you know, standard for me. But I was just moving myself, getting position, and I look up and bloody hell, Delap's running towards us photographers and obviously running towards Archie Gray and stuff. And I couldn't believe we weren't one-nil up in those big chances. And that's what we needed as well, especially at Porton Road. We've got to be fast, but we've got to score them. And obviously we didn't. And I did feel, that may bite us in the butt. You know, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I always thought, that may, you know, Premier League, it punishes you. Well, I did. But yeah, great start. So that's a positive. That's one positive for today. It was a great start, but yeah, did finish him.
It's the second Delap chance, which I think is the big one for me. The first one, it hits either the goalkeeper or Omari on the line, doesn't it? And then Jaden has the follow-up shot, and I think it is offside because the goalkeeper ends up actually being further forward. So even though he's got a defender behind him, you need two men behind you or level, so, and the ball doesn't cross the line anyway, so it doesn't matter. But it's the second one, it's the second Delap one where he just doesn't really get hold of the shot quite right. It sort of ends up being sort of poked quite comfortably wide from a really good position. That was the moment, I think, for me. The headers, you know, a fantastic header, would have been one of the great headed goals of the season, I would have thought, for him to have sort of met that, glanced it, looped it towards that top corner. That's just unfortunate. But it was that second Delap chance that I think was the key moment, really, in those early exchanges.
They don't get the goal, though, of course. And then Spurs get two in quick-fire fashion, Stu. Similar goals, similar culprit in terms of Town struggling at the back. Ben Godfrey come in, obviously, as we expected, for Axel Turns AB. And it's fair to say he didn't have a very good game, Stu.
Yeah, early chances missed is theme one of this game. Theme two is rubbish goals conceded, and a problems down the right side theme for throughout, really. And there'd been enough kind of warning signs leading up to Spurs' first goal a couple of times that Son and Adoghi had combined down that left hand side and got in. And if you want to boil it down, it's rusty fullback who's barely played all season up against a world-class winger who was looked in the mood in Son Heung-min, and it proved, you know, a recipe for disaster ultimately. Could Ben Godfrey have been given a little bit more cover either from the winger in front of him, Philogene, or from the right-sided centre half in O'Shea? Maybe, but I think he probably should do better at times. It got to the stage where he looked a little bit rabbit in the headlights when he was getting squared up by Son. We do have to add the major caveat here that Son is a very, very good footballer, and he can do that to a lot of fullbacks, let alone someone, as I keep saying, Ben Godfrey barely kicked a ball for Atalanta in the first stage of the season. He's come to a new club in January. He's not played a great deal. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but he wasn't the right choice for this game. Certainly in I can see why. I know a lot of people saying we should have gone with a back five, we should have been a bit more pragmatic. Well, we're at the stage of the season where Ipswich need wins, and they're at home, and they're playing against the Spurs side that have conceded plenty. So I've got no problem with the formation and the system. Ben Johnson is a right back. He is more match ready. Was probably the more sensible solution. But you've signed a two-cap England international who's got experience at this level. They obviously felt that he was the right choice for this. But there were warning signs early in this game with Godfrey's problems. There were some warning signs probably in Godfrey's first two performances with so many of Man City's goals coming down that side with De Bruyne's underlaps. Even in the Coventry FA Cup game, I thought Coventry got down that side a few times. So it concerned me when I looked at the team sheet, that matchup before the game, and that's that ultimately proved to be the case with those first two Tottenham goals.
I mentioned that I've got an ardent Spurs supporting brother-in-law who was messaging during the game, which was tremendous fun. Just a little exchange here. Start the game. You should be ahead. We're there for the taking. Yeah, we scored against run of play. You're unlucky. followed by your defence went to sleep there at 2-0. So there we go. 2-0 it was, Rossi. How are you feeling about things then?
Not good, to be honest. Wasn't good. And yeah, obviously watching those goals back, you know, Leif Davis, bless him, you know, didn't look behind him, did he? And Brennan Johnson was there just to pick it up and score. So yeah, well, it's not all Ben Godfrey's fault. It's a defensive collective. They got to do better there and very sloppy. But yeah, I wasn't feeling good, I have to admit. I did feel, oh, it's going to be one of those days. It's going to be a Man City. It's going to be a Newcastle. And it wasn't like a Newcastle. It wasn't like men against boys, but it wasn't good. But there was still a little bit of hope in me, you know. The heart was still, you know, with the boys. Go, come on, they can do it. And, you know, there was a bit of life still in them. And, yeah, do you want to go on to that?
There certainly was, Rossi. I mean, Stewie, I think, described it as a ding-dong slugfest of a first half. Just before we do get on to that, Rossi, I'm pleased I can still hear you because you've been frozen for about 5 minutes. You don't look very impressed at all. Those of you watching the video. But I am pleased we can still hear you. So I don't know if you're going to catch up with the video at some point. But yes, Stu, running towards adversity, 2-0 down at home. Game they need to realistically get something out of. Mm-hmm. And they do get themselves back in it. Game on, you shared. And it was a really good goal, wasn't it? We saw Phillips to Clark, another assist for Jack Clark, and a great finish from Amari.
Yeah, it all starts from a big kick upfield from Alex Palmer, who certainly he's back and he's moving. Big kick upfield, who, you know, Palmer's shown that he's quite happy to go a little bit more direct. And I think, you know, it was the right thing to do so because Delap had the beating of Gray in the air physically in this match. And it's a shame Ipswich, as the game went on, weren't able to kind of keep playing on that. And maybe that's because Tottenham kind of helped him out a little bit more as the game went on. But at that stage, yeah, big kick upfield. It's sort of I think flick on one, ball's bouncing a little bit. It's a bit scrappy. And Calvin Phillips, who was outstanding in that first half throughout the game, really, played a well-weighted through ball. Clark with a cutback, first time sweeping finish into the corner from Amari. And it was the least Ipswich deserved, really. Yes, they'd gone to sleep and conceded a couple of poor goals. Yes, there'd been some other moments where, you know, similar scenarios almost unfolded, but they'd given as good as they'd got in a really entertaining attacking performance. And once it felt like they needed to get a goal back before half time, and they did.
They did indeed. So they go in at 2-1 down. I think the consensus from certainly McKenna and Dara O'Shea, who we spoke to after the game, was that they felt they deserved to be ahead at half time. They certainly had the opportunities to be ahead at half time.
Yeah, and then, of course, I don't think there's any argument that they were the better team in that first half. And obviously, it's very distracting, Ross, you coming in and out, by the way.
I'm going to send a video in the group chat of what's been happening. So we don't have to talk about it on this podcast right now, but there's something. Someone's taken over my laptop and it's just. Yeah, I'll send you a video.
It's not Elon Musk, is it?
Oh, God.
Could be.
Anyway,
my
sorry, so you carry on.
My bank about to be stolen through some sort of Ross's. Putting some sort of Trojan horse into our laptops.
Yeah. You shouldn't click on those links, Ross.
Ipswich, a lot to like about that first half performance. I thought Phillips and Kyusta had been really good in midfield. I thought that, you know, is a very young and lively front four of Villagine, Hutchinson, Clark and Delap had looked a handful at times. And it was just a shame that little vulnerability down the right-hand side had got exposed. And but that, again, as you say, in a nutshell, this season, played quite well, really competitive, but can go to sleep, get punished at one end, don't take your chances at the other. That's the Premier League.
There you go. Bish, bash, bosh. It is what it is. Rossi, were you expecting Ben Godfrey to get the hook at halftime?
No, really. I didn't think that would be a McKenna thing to do. I don't know if he's done it that often. But deep down, I think a lot of Town fans probably were thinking they need to switch up because he's on toast. You know, Son has just done him in that 45 minutes. And we've said, I think we said on the, you know, After Dark podcast, like, there's a bit of a pointless signing, really, especially because he hasn't played much. was he really needed? I feel sorry for Ben. It's not his fault. He signed, he was available, and I'm sure we looked at him and gone, England international, played in the Premier League before, hasn't played much football. But then when can he get that football? Obviously, he played against Coventry, which was a good opportunity for him to play. But yeah, I don't know if he's going to play again, to be honest. May get chucked in as a, you know, second half sub if we want to shore up. Well, depends if he can defend. But yeah, I do feel sorry for him, but I think it was needed. And obviously, Wolfie comes in.
He was on a booking as well. I think that's probably just tipped if Kieran was kind of 50-50 thinking, because it is quite a big thing to sort of take off a defender who's been given a torturous time in the first half. But when he got booked for a foul on Son, I think, you know, given what happened with Axel and the two yellow cards at Villa the previous weekend, couldn't really take any risks there. So sensible decision, I think.
It seems like a suitable point to discuss the Godfrey thing, though, as Ross has just raised, because he's not played a lot. And obviously then he's just been given a torrid time by Son, hooked at half-time. Wouldn't normally be the starter anyway. Do you think we're going to see much more of him in a Town shirt? And if not, how would you reflect on that? That, let's be honest, surprise move to bring him in January.
Yeah, I think it was sort of, I described it as probably an opportunistic signing, the feeling that it wasn't something they were desperate for. But when the opportunity arrived, as we've just said, given his kind of career experience, he's, and he was on loan from a foreign club, so he didn't count towards squad limits in that respect. Ipswich didn't want to kind of be left sort of with any regrets or wondering. Mm. So they thought, well, he's available, we'll take him. It was hard to see where he slotted in, given the form of Axel, but Axel's had a couple of injury setbacks this season. He's had injuries in the past, so you're probably thinking, well, you got to kind of think about what might happen, but... The right side options had diminished with Chio being out, so you may be thinking Johnson might be needed a little bit further forward at times. So, yeah, I can understand why they tried to do it. Will he play a little more now between now and the end of the season? It's hard to see because I think Axel has nailed down that right back slot with his form. If he's fit, probably won't see a great deal of Ben Godfrey between now and the end of the season. But yeah, look, he's January signings, it's always difficult. We hear every year for them to find their feet, new club, etc., etc. And Ben Godfrey has been thrown into games against Man City and Tottenham, and the players that were involved in that with De Bruyne and Son and stuff like that. So it's a pretty big ask, I would say.
A mighty big ask, yeah. All right then, Rossi, let's get back to the game. So in terms of early second half talking points, Wolfie comes on and we thought we had a dream scenario. The substitute comes on, the local lad, and fires in his first goal in the Premier League to get Town level. But unfortunately, about 17 of Town players were offside. Did you have a good view on this?
I was the other end of the pitch because obviously we're in set positions at Portland Road. Yeah. So I saw it go in. And like everybody else, I was like, yeah, trying to get the good celebration. Obviously, Wolfie celebrated like he would with his first Premier League goal. And then, yeah, it was all just, everything just stopped, didn't it? And then everyone looked and went, oh, no, he's offside. And after you watch it back, yeah, as you said, the whole Town team were offside pretty much. And yeah, unfortunate moment. And that was a big turning point because equalised there. I had a feeling Town could potentially go on to win this game. Because they had a really good sort of start to that second half. And, yeah, great moment for Luke Wolfenden at Portman Road against Spurs. And then, yeah, taken away from him because he's offside, like the whole Ipswich Town team, as we mentioned. So, yeah, big moment.
And the other interesting thing I thought, Stu, in terms of early first half talking, second half talking points, was obviously the injury to Jens Kajusta, who'd been playing really well, goes down with an ankle injury. That's the one frustration, isn't it, about him, that he does seem to be fairly brittle. Injury-wise, can't seem to stay fit. But more interestingly, it's who replaces him, because it's not the skipper who sat on the bench. It's not Sam Morsu who comes on. It's Jack Taylor. What did you make of that?
Tottenham started the second half. I think they realised that, you know, they had the lead and Ipswich were posing a threat. So credit to them. I thought they controlled the second half a lot better. They changed the game. there was about a 5 minute spell at the start of the second half where Ipswich didn't get the ball. Tottenham just kept it, and they were less risky with the way they played. As I mentioned, I think they gave Archie Gray a little bit more protection with Bentancur. The injury to Kyusta, difficult to label this against him as being brittle, because it's one of those really unfortunate ones where a man just sort of lands on his leg, wasn't it? It was a good challenge from Calvin Phillips, and Bentancur sort of ends up falling on Kyusta's trailing leg, and he's just sort of rolled his ankle. So I hope that that's nothing serious, because I think, as we've seen several times, when Jens Kyusta goes off, Ipswich do lose a fair bit of intensity in the middle of the park. So that was a blow when he went off. Jack Taylor replacing him. Ipswich are behind in the game. You need a goal. You've already got a kind of shielding midfielder in Calvin Phillips. So I guess it was a more of a like-for-like change. Jack Taylor, someone who can get forward, someone who can score goals. So, seeing Sam Morsi left as an unused sub, I guess, to start with, it raises a slight eyebrow, but it made sense in the context of the game. And actually, having barely got the ball in those first few minutes, Ipswich then did start to build a little bit of pressure, as you say, that led to that chance, the Wolfenden goal being disallowed, and the crowd were up. And that was a good little spell leading up to that that disallowed goal.
But then, of course, Spurs get the third, and then they get the fourth to kill off the game, Rossi. Deflation. And again, I think the fourth goal, I know there's an argument around, well, Greaves has gone down holding his head, the ref should have stopped play, the ref's a villain, he's a wrong one, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it is kind of a microcosm of, again, of the challenge in the Premier League, because yes, he's still got a hell of a lot to do. But the quality is unbelievable, isn't it? The way he finishes that fourth goal, it's just a reminder of how good these players are at this level.
And Dane Scarlett won a header, which I don't think I saw him do for Ipswich, bless him. Obviously, he played many games for us. Got a new haircut or a new hairstyle. But wins the header, obviously gets a bit of Greaves as well. And yeah, there is that argument there. Well, we should be stopping play there, but right in front of the fourth official, but you know, it doesn't matter because it happened. And yeah, he still had a lot of work to do. He's in my team, actually, my FPL team. He's on my bench though, because I'm good. I'm not putting opposition players on my team and stuff like that. But he got 9 points, so I'm a bit like, oh God, maybe I should have put him in my team. But enough about that. But yeah, good finish. And yeah, game done. I think the game, to be honest, and that was horrible for me to say, but even when it went 3-1, I was just like, nah, we're done. I can't see us getting back in this. I know we've been here before. We've been maybe 3-1 behind and been able to get back. But I feel like the boys were just done, really. And yeah, once again, the referee is a talking point. But he didn't take those chances. And yeah, I think it's not the referee's fault, in my opinion. He'd had a bad game again, but we can't use that excuse. Our referee, you know, was a 12th man for Tottenham. It was just, yeah, they didn't have good decisions that go their way as well. So, yeah, it balances out.
Yeah, it's Mr. Robertson again, isn't it? He was the guy who refed against Leicester, wasn't it, with that penalty that wasn't. Stu, have you got any thoughts on Spurs scoring two more and this debate around the ref? I'll be honest, I find slagging off the referee incredibly dull.
Likewise, yeah. Echo what Ross has just said. Ipswich didn't lose the game because of the referee. They lost it because of the chances they didn't take, the poor goals that they conceded. I do think there's a point around the fourth goal that twice in this game the referee stopped the match. One for a head injury earlier in the second half. In the first half, he actually stopped one when I think Jed Spence just got hit in his manscaped region, and he decided to stop the game then as well. So all you ask for from refs is consistency. So by the letter of the law, that one should have been stopped for a head injury. That said, Scarlett does win the flick on fair and square. And as you say, Kulusevski still has a lot to do and takes it well. But we've kind of skipped past the third goal, which was the killer goal, really. Ipswich were still in that. There was still a chance for a grandstand finish at that stage. Had to be James Maddison at the heart of things, didn't it? I have to admit, when he came on and the stick he got, the booze, the anti-Norwich chance, I thought, that could backfire, because he is the sort of character that revels in pantomime villain, and you know, we've seen it with some of his goal celebrations. The goal celebration last weekend after he scored against United, and I think, you know, he posted afterwards the shush celebration was linked to some stick he'd got from Roy Keane on a podcast. So he was clearly up for it, and that was really good footwork in the box. Three players around him sort of danced his way through the crowd, set up Jed Spence. And we talk about season in a nutshell, Mike Cosham of the season. It's a really unfortunate deflection off the trailing heel of Luke Wolfenden to go into the top corner. So Kieran McKenna did use the phrase sort of luck and misfortune a few times in his post-match, and we haven't quite had enough of it this season. And I think he's referring to a few things. He's talking about goals like that have deflected in, of Ipswich had. They got the late one at Southampton, but I can't think of too many like that have gone for Ipswich. He's probably talking about the refereeing, rubber the green. Does it even itself out? Probably hasn't this season. Injuries, every team gets them. Tottenham have obviously, we'll talk about their injuries crisis, but Ipswich have had a fair few. So Town needed a fair wind this season to stand a chance, and they've not quite caught that fair wind at any stage, it's fair to say. Look, they got plenty of it in the Championship. There was a lot of talk in the Championship, wasn't there, about Deflection FC, and didn't really get that many injuries. I know there was the Hurst one on Boxing Day, so maybe that's where it's evened itself out. I don't know, but I do get bored talking about refs, and that wasn't the reason in this game.
I don't know where it sits in chronology of the goals and whatnot, but there was another blow clearly with Calvin Phillips, who you said, I think you picked him as your man of the match, you know, finally showing what he can do. And then he went down injured as well.
Yeah, well, look, we may as well talk about that, because he wasn't initially my man of the match pick, and that got,
that got
a bit of, yeah, let's address the elephant in the room.
Shall
there.
We?
That
let's
was.
Do it.
My initial pick was Jaden Philogene, so I'm not normally on player ratings. Alex is, but he was away enjoying a well-earned break. So I was doing a little bit more, get the tiny violins out at the weekend. So it had been such a breathless first half that I'd sort of doing the live updates on the blog and on Twitter was sort of all-consuming. Then I got to half-time, and I spent the entirety of sort of half-time trying to write up that sort of first half, but was still kind of chasing my tail going into the second half. So I know people go, oh, it's your job to watch the game. I try my very best, but there are times even when you have to take a risk and have your head down a little bit while you're typing. So I probably didn't watch enough of that second half as I would have liked, but I have watched the entirety of the game back this morning. All of which leads me to the fact that I did initially go with Jaden Philogene as my pick. And I might have overplayed that man of the match is a stretch, but I do think it was a big, big step forward from Jaden Philogene. And people will say it's a low bar from how he started. But I thought off the ball, he was so much better. And I think sometimes people look past the off the ball stuff. There was a couple of times where there was one in the second half where I think he ran at the box and then sort of got caught in two minds and cut the ball back to nobody and gets a big groan from the crowd. And those things stick in people's minds. But if you watch it back off the ball, he worked his socks off. And I thought Jack Clark was the same as well. Jack Clark, the reason he hasn't quite got himself in the team is his off the ball stuff and understanding what Kieran McKenna wants. I thought he was miles better in that. We talked about that little period where Ipswich was starting to push for an equaliser. That all stemmed, that little turnaround from Spurs bossing the ball to Ipswich having a little period of pressure, was when Jack Clark, you know, really sprinted to close down someone in the far corner and lifted the crowd. And Philogene, you know, did plenty of that as well. So, Ipswich's man of the match was, in hindsight, probably pushing it. Calvin Phillips was, having watched it back, Ipswich's standout player, no doubt. But I do think Philogene was much, much better in this game. I've seen a few people say it was almost like early days Amari at Ipswich. You can see there's a player there, and you can see he's got the off the ball stuff. That clears that one up.
In your defence, Stu, I'll say that is, I mean, you were on your own at the game, and that is a lot to do. Match report, analysis, ratings on their own are obviously a challenging thing to do, and it's something you need to be bang on top of. Rossi, you were smiling along when Sue mentioned changing the ratings. Does that indicate that you disagreed with Philogene being originally man of the match?
No, I just obviously knew that was going to be coming up because I've seen the backlash that Stu's had.
Backlash.
And do you know what? He would have been man of the match if he scored that scissor kick, overhead kick. Very ambitious. But if that
very,
went in,
very ambitious.
That went in, Deary being the best goal ever scored at Port Road. Wes Burns' goal was great. Selina's goal was great. But if he got that, that'd be amazing. So he would have got 10 out of 10 off the scale if that went in. But yeah, I did sort of read the thread of Stu's, you know.
I think my favourite one, though, was just a man with a walking stick emoji was involved in one of them. So... normally, I double down on player ratings. If it's one or two comments, I go, it's a game of opinions. But there was enough of them for me to realise that by general consensus, I'd probably got that one a little bit wrong. So for the first time, I just I switched it around.
You weren't the only one, mate. By the way, I saw there are several accounts on social media, aren't they, who do their own ratings? And I was looking back at one of them this morning. Again, got a lot of stick for suggesting that Philogene had a good game.
If you look back, like the early Delap chance, the very first one, it's a ball inside from Jaden that sets Jens racing up the pitch. There was a chance, I think, at 2-1, or no, it might have been 1-0, I can't remember. 1-0, I think it was. Again, where it's the one where Delap has a spin and shot on the edge of the box. It's a hell of a wrapped pass into his feet from the right, from Philogene. So I thought there was some good spells or good signs on the ball from him, but more importantly, his counter press and his work rate impressed me. That was the thing that disappointed me in the early displays. You always kind of think, okay, it might be a fitness issue, having not played a great deal, so we'll give him a free pass on that. So, I was encouraged by him. I was encouraged by Jack Clark. I like the two in midfield, and it's a real blow. Going back to your original question, that Calvin ends up going off with a calf injury. He's just, again, talking about fair wind, catching a break. Poor old Calvin's just not quite been able to get going this season, has he? From the red card against Leicester, a little ankle injury. Just never quite been able to get him up to full speed. And I think Saturday was approaching what we hoped we'd see from Calvin Phillips. He was really good. He was crunching into tackles. He was composed on the ball. And then it looks like he might get taken away again, which is a real shame.
So just on that then, Kuyusta is an ankle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Phillips is a calf. And obviously it's Presser again today. So hopefully we'll get an update from Kieran on those two, plus others who may or may not be coming back into the team for the trip to Man United, which obviously we've got to talk about in a minute. Rossi, 4-1 then. Town lose. Any other notes from the game for you?
I thought most of the crowds were behind the boys as well at full time. I thought it was not a bad... obviously, there's a lot of boos, but that was very much aimed at the referee, which was not a surprise, because that's the second time he's had a bit of a mare, Tim. So, yeah, I don't know if that should be a rule. You know, if you had one bad game at a stadium, you can't ref there again during this season until it gets right reviewed. But then I think we'd run out of referees, wouldn't we? I think we spoke about this too after the game. I think we'd run out of referees. But now I feel like most of the fan base are still together. Because that obviously is, I hate to say that, maybe another nail in the relegation coffin. But they still believe in this team. You've got to be together. Obviously, there'll be a few fans who may go, yeah, it's done and dusted. But then they would probably left when the fourth goal went in. So, I just thought that was a good sort of ending, really, in terms of the game. You know, full-time, people were still together. Obviously, everyone's deflated and disappointed. Everyone I bumped into, even like yesterday, I bumped into a few people and they were just like, oh, Ross. Oh, God, that wasn't good, was it? And I was like, but still 12 games to go and all that jazz. So, yeah.
36 points to play for. Clearly, that's the talking point after the game. I've got a clip from you speaking to Kieran McKenna about staying up, Stu, and the belief in the team. Dara O'Shea made a point after the game as well that they're all very much still of the mind that they can stay up and they've got to prove to themselves they're good enough, etc., etc. Is there anything else you want to mention before we listen to Kieran talking about that?
I feel weirdly quite encouraged. And that's going to sound strange, seeing as Ipswich lost a game 4-1 at home. There was a lot to like in that performance. I do think you need to take a big step back. And we keep talking about the bigger picture and where Ipswich have come. And people are going to... It sounds boring, but Ipswich have just played a really, really entertaining game of football against Tottenham that absolutely flew by for a lot of that game. Chances at both ends. Look at the average age of that front four. Okay, Delap will probably go this summer, but hopefully Ipswich can keep hold of a number of these players. And, you know, if it is to be Championship next season, this team could be a lot of fun to watch. And there was a way to lose to Tottenham at the weekend, and Ipswich gave it a real good go, and they had to in the circumstances. And as much as, you know, even during some of the frustrations in the League One journey, it was, do we need to change the way we play? Do we need to be a bit more pragmatic? And Kieran McKenna repeatedly said, no, look, if we stick to this, the glass, you know, we can go through a glass ceiling. We can go a lot higher. And, you know, he has been adaptable at times this season, but it was right to sort of roll the dice in this game. Had one of those chances gone in, could have been a different story. I know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, if buts, maybes. But there was a lot to like about individual performances. And this isn't me being a cheerleader of the football club. This isn't, you know, disappointed to lose, of course. But I genuinely did like quite a lot of things that I saw on that football pitch on Saturday. And, you know, the performances, I would say there's been a lot more good than bad this season. Yes, there's been some flat performances along the way. But, I'm still feeling reasonably sort of upbeat about where the club's at.
Excellent. And obviously they're going to go to Old Trafford and beat Man United. I've already said that will happen. So let's hear from Kieran McKenna about staying up, and then we can talk about Man United.
It's 5 points, goal difference comes into it, 12 games to go. Still believe?
Yeah, no doubt. And we will while it's possible. Look, it is what it is. You know, they picked up a good result today against 10 men with an early red card with a VAR. These are really, really small margins in football. They haven't went our way this year. I think, you know, this. Of course, everyone probably thinks that, but, you know, I don't think anyone could say that we've had any sort of fortune or margins go our way too often. It is what it is. We know we've got a big challenge to stay in the division. We know we're going to have to pick up points at a greater rate in our last 12 games. I believe that we can pick our points up at a greater rate, for sure. I feel that, you know, there's improvement in the team. We're still in a period, and I know it's frustrating again to say, but it's just the reality of the situation and how it's been, that, you know, you still got a couple of players making home debuts today, and that's been almost the case right through the season. We've not been able to settle on relationships and partnerships on the pitch too often, but we got hope for better margins and luck on some of those things in the run-in, and keep doing the good work and push for improvement and turning margins our way. And I believe that we can pick up a good amount of points in the last 12 games. Of course, when you're in this position now, it's not in our hands. So if our teams win all their games, then, you know, we can't control that. So we can only do what we do. And that starts with Wednesday night, big challenge. We've got to pick ourselves up after that and go there. And that's, you know, a game to really try and take on.
Yeah, some good points there made from Kieran. I do think it is, before we start talking about Man United, I think it's probably just worth underlining again. I know it's boring, all this, you know, reminding folks of just how big this challenge was when they went up. But regardless of what happens, and they are still in it, there are still 12 games left to play. Even if Town go down, they're still in a much, much better place as a football club than they were a year ago. Obviously, they've got the money. They've got a squad, as you said there. If they go down in the Championship, they're going to have some incredible players in the Championship, even if the likes of Delap leave. So although it's boring, and I know it's, you know, dull to talk about, this was a massive, massive undertaking, a huge challenge against all the odds. And you see what's happened to Southampton, Leicester. I watched them on Friday. I watched the first half an hour before my wife said, I'm not watching this shit, and turned it off because they were 3-0 down. They're doing better than both those sides, and both those sides really should be outperforming Town. So once again, I'm going to continue to rattle this drum, bang this drum. You know, even if they do go down, it's not a rank bad failure of anyone. It's just one of those things. It's a huge, huge, huge step up into the Premier League.
Of course it is. Yeah, as has rightly been pointed out many, many times, so many of these clubs that Ipswich are coming up against have built these squads over multiple transfer windows. Ipswich have had two as a Premier League club. Yes, they spent in excess of 100 million, and that's the headline figure that externally people fixate on. Oh, Ipswich threw a load of money at it. Of course they did. They had 4 years in League One. They've had back-to-back promotions. They had two to stand half a chance of doing it. But again, the wage bill, as Mark Ashton points out, will be the lowest in the league. Ipswich have, for my money, surpassed where Southampton and Leicester are. I know they're on equal points with Leicester, but look at the way Ruud van Nistelrooy is talking about. Yeah. Essentially, he's thrown the towel in and we're just not good enough. We're not good enough at this level. And how many home games have they gone without scoring now?
It's a ridiculous amount. They are bad. Bad.
Yeah. And Southampton have been what they are this season. Obviously, that adds to the frustration of the result against them recently and not being able to get more from that game. But Leicester were where they were not so long ago. League winners in the Champions League. Southampton had a decade plus in the Premier League. So even against, I think people forget that this time last year, Ipswich have got no right to be competing with Leicester and Southampton. And now we're talking about them being kind of ahead of both of those in terms of where they're at as an overall football club. So that's not to be underestimated. The proof will be in the pudding next year if Ipswich do go down. And I think we're getting to the stage where, look, the players and the manager have to talk about, you know, fighting to the very end. But it is hard to see from now. And they'll give it everything and the fans will stick by them. But Wolves have got Cunha. They strengthened their defence in January. They look like they're getting results. Ipswich have now really effectively got to better their results twice just to get on level terms again. I think we'll end up looking back at moments ago, you know, for example, the Leicester home game and some of the last minute goals against and things like that. But over the piece of this season, you can probably count on one hand the amount of really sort of disappointing weren't at their best, didn't really turn up today, flat performances. On the most part, they've been really competitive against some massive football clubs. They've got some young players that look like they've got a huge amount of growth in them ahead. There is still a lot to like, and we should still try and enjoy every last bit of this Premier League season. And the next one is a trip to Old Trafford, which is something that for a long, long time seemed like it would be a pipe dream for those sort of football matches.
Yeah. Well, go on then, Rossi. Let's move on then, shall we, to just the small matter of Man United away in the Premier League. Friends, don't lose track of that. And it's not the same Man United, clearly. They're no longer what they were. And Ruben Amorim is having an absolute bloody nightmare, isn't it? I bet he's wishing he didn't say yes to the job. The latest in a long line of managers who seem to have ruined their career by moving to Man United. How are we feeling about it, though? Because we say Man United aren't what they were. And I listened to the first half of the game. It's Everton on Saturday. They were getting smashed. Went in 2-0 down, but it sounded like it could have been 6. But of course, then they fight back and they get a point. So they are slightly buoyed as town head there, Rossi. How are you feeling about it?
A little bit different to when we did a prediction pod where I backed town to beat Spurs and beat Man United. Obviously, since then, Town got a good draw against Villa, which I think we all predicted a defeat for that game, and they got a really good draw with 10 men. Obviously got lost 4-1 against Spurs. So that does make me think, oh God, you know, maybe I'm feeling a bit more blue than I was. But yeah, Man United, going to Old Trafford isn't a scary place to go. You know, back in the day, no one would win there. But now, you know, Wolves have won there, Brentford, Bournemouth, Brighton, I don't think
Crystal Palace last time they were at home.
Most of those teams have not won at Man United or Old Trafford ever in their history, or not since like the 50s or something crazy like that. So it's not a hard place to go anymore. But it's still a place that, you know, maybe some players will get a bit, you know, get nervous about, because it's still 70 plus capacity stadium. It's Manchester United. So I'm cautious going to this one. Once again, it's not our town are going to guarantee to get a win here. because we thought Spurs was one of those. So once again, I think we've got to be a bit cautious of these games. These final 12 games, we've got to think, you know, anything can happen. And it would be a Man United thing just to turn up and get a win. So I'm very cautious. But town we've got, you know, away from home, our home form is bloody dreadful. Portman Road, Kieran Kenner, sort out, mate, because entertaining football, but can't bloody win. Obviously, we beat Chelsea, which is nice, but that's our only win at Portman Road. And obviously, Portman Road was a lovely place to go. The last 2 years, League One Championship, it was a golden ticket. Everyone was loving it this season. Great beat at the start of the game, the flames and all that. But then when the game starts, it's like, oh, this is a rubbish place to be, isn't it?
Have you felt like that? Honestly, have you felt like this is a rubbish place to be during the games of football at Portman Road?
Maybe not during the games, but you know, at full time, you're just like, oh, at least we haven't got a long journey home. But you're like, oh, we're not one again. Like, you know, like, yeah, it was an entertaining game, but we lost or we drew. Away from home, I don't know, you feel like we actually could get something, which is a bad thing to say. And I think I've just froze again. So talk.
He has just frozen. The computer said no. Stewie, are you still with me?
Yes, you're
still moving. So Ross there suggesting that they have a chance of going to Old Trafford and getting something. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, 7 defeats for Manchester United in the league at Old Trafford this season. The list here is Liverpool, Tottenham, Forest, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Brighton and Palace have all gone to Old Trafford and won in the league this season. 15 points from 15 games under Ruben Amorim, who looks like a man who's regretted his life choices. he's, you know, some of his post-match and pre-match stuff has been so negative, hasn't it? You know, from day one after that game at Ipswich, he was talking about, you know, we're going to have to go through a lot of pain and we're going to, you know, almost talk themselves into the situation that they're in. And you see some of the clips from training and players looking sort of disinterested and disheartened. Does the comeback at Everton at the weekend really change much of that? I mean, let's be honest, that was a penalty at the end. And really don't understand VAR, why that's given. And then why are they not shown the angle of the shirt pull on Ashley Young? It's a game for Ipswich to go and attack. When I looked at Tottenham Man United as back-to-back games, I actually felt like this one, United, was potentially a bigger opportunity than the Tottenham one, to be honest. Obviously, you know, if the Phillips Kyusta injuries hadn't happened, I'd think I'd be feeling a lot more confident about this. That's the only sort of flip side to it. But game to relish, game to go and attack, game to enjoy.
Mm. I know a lot of fans certainly looking forward to this trip. Rossi, what we don't obviously know in terms of injuries and stuff, and you'd imagine that Axel Tuanzebe's going to come back in. Is there anything else you'd want to see with the team? Clearly, as I said, Phillips, Kyusta, we've no idea where they're at, if they're going to be able to play. Would you tinker elsewhere in the side? Or would you stick with the back four?
Maybe. Or go three at the back, potentially. I'm sure Luke Walford will be up for this one. I know he's an itch lad in terms of being born here and coming through the ranks, but he's a Man United fan. So I'm sure he's going to be gagging to play this game at Old Trafford. So maybe, yeah, go with three, go with, Tuanzebe, you know. Although that means he's got to be a right. Maybe Wolfie won't start. Maybe Axel on the right.
Think this through, Ross. Come on.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just get too excited about certain things and I just lose track of thought. So maybe not. Wolfie may have to be on the bench for this one. Maybe have to come off the bench.
You've just had him in your managerial's office and you've just told him you're a big Man United fan. 2 seconds ago, I was thinking about back four, but then I realised you're a United fan, so you're in. Oh, bollocks. Sorry, I've got to play Axel as well. No, sorry, you're out, Wolfie. Sorry about that. I'll see you next week. My
management skill is dreadful. Yeah.
Not great.
Paul Lambert.
Who's
in
your
one
back three then? Come on.
Yeah, Axel, Dara, Shea, Greaves. That's right. My back three. So. Sorry, Wolfie.
You're out. what would you do, Stewie?
What would you
think McKenna would do?
Well, we know United are a back three after all the hoo-ha of is Amorim going to stick with his back three wing-back system. He has, and he's stuck with it, even though he clearly hasn't really got the personnel for it at this moment in time. I'd be inclined to just keep rolling the dice. I know it's and keep going with a proper sort of front four. Keep going with this 4-2-3-1, and probably with realistically half an eye on probably going to go down regardless of what happens from here. So start trying to build something for going forward. Start trying to build some of these forward connections. Axel being at right back essentially kind of tucks into play to become a back three at times anyway, doesn't he? So, Axel back in at right back and stick with the back four for me.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, as you say, Stu, you may as well. They've got to score goals. They've got to win games. And you're kind of in a situation where not that you haven't got anything to lose, but clearly, unless something changes, they're going down. So you may as well go down swinging and try and score some goals. Rossi, shall we talk about predictions? I'm not going to ask you anything more about team selection. That was a mistake on my behalf. I'm just trying to get you involved. Shall we talk about predictions?
Broadhead starts. There we go.
Yeah.
Come on, Broadie.
I mean, that is generally, that is a good talking point because Terry Hunt, one of our columnists, who is going to Old Trafford, said he can't, that's one of the things he can't understand is why Broadhead isn't getting more playing time. And clearly that's something we've spoken about. Would you agree with that, Rossi?
I think maybe McKenna's gone, I have spent 15 million and a lot of money on Jadon Philogene and Jack Clark, so I need to fit him in somehow. Mm. So that's maybe why. But Broadhead, he's been lively. Every time he's played, he's done some stuff. So give him a go. I know Jack Clark, you know, hasn't been able to get many game time and obviously did well against Coventry, but away from home, I think you start Broadhead, bring Clark off the bench, a tiring defence. So that's my thinking, but I don't know if McKenna will think that too. I don't think we're lining up here, me and K-Dog.
But, I'm not sure you've got similar, got similar kind of approaches, I don't think.
No,
yeah, why not?
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it.
Stu, have you got any thoughts on the Broadhead thing before we talk predictions?
The one that I would like to see in there is Sammy Schmodix, and I think probably the reason he hasn't is because he was obviously back on the bench at the weekend, but has had this ankle injury that he had a setback with in the Coventry game. As I said, I think he's different in terms of giving a bit more experience, giving a bit more off the shoulder running. He's more of a goal scorer. He's the one that I think that they're missing in that sort of top line at this moment in time. Brody's been good. He's, technically, you can see why he's been at a Premier League club in Everton before. He's not looked out of place at all when he's played. But, I think Kieran McKenna wants intensity from the top end of his pitch. And Nathan Broadhead, maybe it's the off-the-ball stuff again that people maybe don't pay as much attention to, which is why he's not getting the regular starts. So, and Ross is right. Ultimately, when you have a price tag and you've been signed by a manager, I think that always does sort of just tip the needle your way at times as well. So, Schmodix is one I'd really like to see away from home. A lot of his goals have come, haven't they? Tottenham, Brentford. Has he scored at Portman Road yet, Sammy? I think of all four of his goals been
away from Fulham, home. I know, away from home, but yeah, I don't know at home.
Hmm. So I'd like to see him in the team if he's fit. I mean, obviously only the medical people will know kind of where his ankle's at the moment. But midfield's obviously a big one, isn't it? If by the time people listen to this, we'll have probably had an update from the presser in terms of where Jens and Calvin are at. But if you've got to change both of those, Morsey and Taylor, it's probably going to be the two, I would have thought, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right about Smodic, G. I mean, I really like the kind of edge that he plays with. And obviously, he's got that kind of extra age as well. It's quite a young front line without him being involved. Rossi, prediction-wise then, obviously, Luke Wolfenden's going to score. What's the score going to be?
Yeah, off the bench, mate. Yeah, I know I've just told he's going to be starting, but I'll go, you know, when we get to Old Trafford, I went, yeah, don't worry, mate, you're going to play. You're going to come off the bench, you're going to score the winner. And, you know, the starting won't even matter now, mate, because at least you played. But that is just a pipe dream. So let's talk about a prediction that could come true. Rotterdamus is gone because I predicted a town to beat Spurs 2-1. So that's out of the window because, you know, what we just spoke about. Old Trafford. I'm actually going to be there. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So don't worry, everybody, I'm fine. You know, I've not been told I can't go because
I've not been banned.
I've been banned and stuff. But other things have come up. So deep down, I'm like, oh, I hope they don't bloody win because it means it's me. I'm the bad luck. But obviously, I do want Tanner Wing because, you know, blue and heart. Where am I going with this, boys?
Is this how your mind works?
Is this your brain?
Is this going on in your head all the time?
I don't know. I want to say things and then it won't come out right. To be fair, this is my life in general. Like, I just can't.
Is this you in a restaurant? You have this kind of debate whenever you try to order something in a restaurant. You just got going back and forth.
I just want everything on the menu, to be fair.
I love the steak. Yesterday. Sorry, mate, we don't serve steak. Oh.
I'm like, then 10 minutes, like, oh, I've got to rethink. So I do actually sometimes do this. I do look at a menu before I go to a restaurant, just to double check things. I think we spoke about that before. Because I think Liz doesn't
she? My wife, if we're going to a restaurant, she knows a month in advance what she's going to order. But then she has a crisis of confidence when we get there and I order something else. And then she says, what if yours is better than mine? And I say, that's life, my dear. Anyway. Friends, I think you're going to give us a prediction.
Yeah, I've many predictions. They could win, they could draw, they could lose. But the one I'm picking this week, I'm going to think they're going to draw.
Draw?
Draw, yeah.
Score?
1-1.
1-1. A draw at Old Trafford. Yeah. Stu in your lovely mustard jumper. What are you saying?
I also have 1-1 down in my predictions. I had, for this little block, I had draws against Tottenham and United. I thought Saturday against Spurs could have been a 2-2, and I think on another day it could easily have been, and I went for 1-1 here. So,
great minds think alike.
I'm not sure your and Stu's minds are anywhere near alike, if I'm honest, mate. Very, very much opposite ends of the spectrum, I reckon, yours and Stu's minds. Not in terms of mental capacity, just in the way they work. He says, digging himself out of a hole. You know, I think slightly more, what's the word?
Off the cuff.
Off the cuff, exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to say jumbled. Off the cuff, yeah.
I make notes sometimes, but yeah.
I like it, mate. I like it. Don't change, Rossi.
I love the fact that we record this podcast and Ross is always like he's been surprised to, like, you've now got to make a prediction on a game or who you think might play in the next one. Things that you might have just given maybe a moment's thought before going into this one. It's like you've been caught.
Something you guys have to do. You're the professional journalist. I'm just the snappy snapper who, you know, speaks to ex-players and does, you know, bits and bobs here and there. You're the ones who have to be the experts. I'm just here
Listen. We're all things to all people. We're very, very the four of us are very different, I think it's fair to say, as individuals. But hopefully, we're greater than the sum of our parts. Yeah. That's the term I was looking for. So you both said 1-1. Alex is obviously back. We don't know what he's going to say. He's currently riding the train to the press conference. I'm going to say, mainly because I predicted at the start of the season that Town are going to beat Man United, I'm going to say they're going to win. I'll say 2-1. And then if they do win at Old Trafford, Stu, it's all of a sudden it's back on, isn't it? Whee! There's a chance.
The roller coaster continues, yeah.
Absolutely. Right then, friends. So we've got a 1-1 times 2 and a 2-1 win. Anything else to mention, Rossi? Have you got anything else to mention from that beautiful mind of yours? Anything running around in there to talk about? Ex-player chats.
Yeah, got a few lined up. I don't want to say just yet, just in case they don't actually. Oh wow, I got Romeo's on the van. He's one that's been recorded.
That's in the bag.
Out this weekend, so that'll be after the Man United game. And we'll have a podcast after the Man United game. So Romeo's on the van. What a man! Moustache, hasn't got moustache anymore. Hasn't got any hair. Shaved it all off. So that was actually in the chat. But yeah, obviously played over 300 times at the club. Spoke about something very controversial in his career. So he was actually very happy to talk about it. He got arrested once upon a time and he spoke about it. So, and obviously his journey at Town, how he's doing now. So check that out when it's out. And there are many more ex-Blues to come as well. So a lot lined up. I've got a lot of been chatting. And I've been speaking to their people. They've been speaking to my people. So get ready for a lot of ex-Blues podcast specials coming up. So stay tuned.
Superb. Stu, anything from you? We haven't heard from for a while, actually. How's young Bluey getting on?
Bluey the Rabbit. Yeah, yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Is he still hopping around? Freedom of Watson Towers?
He is, yeah. He's what can I tell you about Bluey at the moment?
Has he ever gnawed through wires?
Yeah, we're through, I think, 3 phone cables, wow, phone chargers at the moment. If you leave them out, you're in trouble.
He likes them.
But Bluey's good, yeah. Thank you for asking. What else is there to cover? Wolves play tomorrow night at home to Fulham, so that could kind of set the tone going to Old Trafford. Mm. We've got to hope that they get zilch, and you know, that adds to a feeling that you know that Wolves have lost, and then if you could go to Man United, like you say, it's it can all change very quickly. At the moment, it feels insurmountable, but it will just take one weekend where everything goes one game night where everything goes right, and the whole mood shifts again. So yeah, after that they've got Everton at home, and then Southampton. They go Wolves next fixtures after that. They got Fulham. I'll start again. Fulham at home on Tuesday night. Then they've got the FA Cup. Then they've got Everton at home, Southampton away, West Ham at home, and Ipswich away. So if you're a Wolves fan, you're probably looking at those fixtures and thinking that there's an opportunity there. So the fear is that it could, the next few weeks is where it just starts to drift away from Ipswich, and we'll start to have a few more firmer conversations ahead. But while the hope's there, until the fat lady sings, etc., etc.
Exactly. The hope is that they're still in touch when they host Wolves, isn't it, on April the 5th? And they will be, of course, because they're going to beat Man United on Wednesday. So we've already guaranteed that. Exactly. Right then, friends, just a reminder to support our sponsors. Use the code KOA at stardustspirits.co.uk. I could have used some Stardust Spirits actually on Saturday after the result and text from my Spurs supporting brother-in-law. But they've got an excellent range of stuff on there. Go and have a look at it. We're hoping to get our hands on some samples. So we might do some live sampling as part of the pod going forward. And also, friends, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes if you could, because it just helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts and the algo. And it's also a nice little boost for our egos, mainly mine. And friends, KOA Live 2 is coming your way. Indeed, the next home game for Ipswich Town isn't it? Is Nottingham Forest at home, Saturday, March the 15th. After that game, friends, we'd love to see you at the Baths in Ipswich for a live podcast. There are a handful of tickets left. So if you are umming and ahhing about getting a ticket, I'd grab yours as soon as possible just to make sure you don't miss out, because we're verging on selling out now, which is quite exciting. Rossi, you wanted to say something? Have I forgotten to mention something?
Ginger Pickle, obviously our sponsor.
Ginger Pickle, of course.
Happy birthday to Tony Southgate. His birthday today. So good old Tone, who will be there as well with his banners and all that, SEO marketing and all that. So Ginger Pickle, KOA Live 2 sponsor. Boom.
Happy birthday, Tone. 21 again, I assume. And me and Rossi are going to scout the venue again, aren't we, on Wednesday, Ross, and hopefully bring a little behind-the-scenes insight. What is going on? Are you still with me?
We're here.
Excellent. You completely vanished there. Anyway, friends, before my Wi-Fi crashes, I'll just say have a great start to your week. Hope you enjoyed the pod. If you're going to Old Trafford, enjoy it, friends, whatever happens. These are games to be enjoyed, and we'll be back later on this week to break it all down again and speak to you once more.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.